If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. I have given you what? Please underline that in your Bible. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. The Englishman says, action speaks louder than voice. And the Bible said, from the very mouth of Jesus Christ, that the best way to influence and to lead is by showing the people and not just telling them what to do. And you do that by doing it yourself. Let's check Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. From verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to what? Are you there? Both to do and what? And to teach. Not to teach and to do. But he was writing about what Jesus began to do first. In other words, the style of Jesus was to do something before teaching others to do same. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible said the disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray. Why? Because they have seen him praying over and over, and they have seen result following his prayer life. So they came to him and said, Master, this thing you know so well how to do, teach us also how to do it. So from the very mouth of Jesus, he said, I have shown you an example. And Dr. Luke confirmed it. He said, this book I am writing to establish what Jesus began to do and to teach. A certain pastor was complaining bitterly about the low-level commitment and spiritual apathy of his people to the whole congregation. Later, one bold deacon rose up and commented, Sir, we are just the picture of what we see in you. What we are because of what you taught us, and we copy from you. Now that is a very hard truth. This fellow stood up in the congregation before everybody and said, Pastor, we are just fulfilling the scripture, like pastor, like people. If your people will be exactly like you are, what kind of Christian would they be? So the man told the pastor and said, Pastor, you don't need to complain. We are just following after your footsteps. And I thought that was what Apostle Paul said in that book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When he said, be ye followers of me, as I also am the follower of Christ. The number one proof of leadership has been a good example in everything. I want us to read that book of 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians, so that we establish a very strong scriptural foundation for this teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessity, in distresses, in strifes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in watching, in fasting. Verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the hammer of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, and as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Now Paul was using himself as an example to the church. Now look, we are passing through even more than you have been going through. And we are still standing for the Lord. We are still faithful. We are still righteous. The number one principle of leadership everywhere is that people do what people see. Can you underline that in your Bible? Let's go to the scriptural foundation. I have read John chapter 13. Now I want to read 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but being what? Wow. Do I wait for you to get there? I want us to look at those scriptures so that we don't just run over them. And I expect you to open your Bible. Are you there now? I can't hear you. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. Oh, let's read together. Go. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, there are five different kinds of crowns in the Bible. But the Bible said there is a particular crown for being an exemplary leader. And the Bible calls that crown the crown of glory. It is my prayer that among the crowns that you will receive when we get home, you will get this crown. Oh, I thought your amen would be better than that of every other person. I say you will get this crown. It's a crown specially made for those leaders that are good examples. The crown of glory that fadeth not away. So let this always be at the back of your mind in everything you do in life and ministry. Now, I don't want to miss this crown. I want to get this crown of glory. Therefore, everything I do, everything I say, my life in secret and in open should be one that others could open. I'm going to live my life like an open book so that at the end of the day, I may be able to get this crown of glory. I pray you will not miss it in Jesus' name. Being an example is becoming a model. Doing things worthy of emulation, inspiration, challenge, and blameless to others. Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciples and said that he did, and said that all he did are deliberate examples for us to follow. Let's look at the following points. Number one, examples can be negative or positive in nature. In other words, what we do can make other people do things that are right and can lead other people to do things that are wrong. Number two, you can never live in isolation. Somebody is watching your life. Particularly those of us that are children of God. It's a common thing that when a Christian and an unbeliever has a misunderstanding, and maybe the Christian is trying to express his or her feeling. It's a common thing for the unbeliever to say, see yourself, after now you go call yourself Christian. Is that not true? You look at you. You call yourself Christian. In other words, there is an expectation even from the unbelievers that you are not supposed to be angry. That Jesus said if they slap you on the right cheek, you should turn the left. And this fellow he has not even slapped you. He's only making attempt. And you're already angry. They say, see yourself. Are you a Christian? When I have not even slapped you, you should have waited for me to give you the first one. And if you can't take the second one, you just rub it and say, God bless you. Then I will know you are a Christian. So the unbelievers have a high expectation of Christians. Then more expectation from those of us that are in leadership. Tell the fellow sitting by your side, somebody is watching your life. Now, the truth is that the destinies of so many people are tied to our own lives. And we will have more guilt if we lead them astray. Because we may even lead them astray without knowing. I remember the story of a particular pastor. He attended a wedding ceremony. And when it was time for them to do this toast of a thing, they put wine in everybody's cup. And, you know, they toasted to the bride and the bridegroom. And they were just celebrating. And the pastor, you know, put the cup in his mouth and sipped it a little and dropped it. After some time, a family brought a case. The man had been a drunkard all his life. And the wife had been praying that God should deliver her husband. And the husband was just making up the mind to stop drinking. But he was in that wedding. And when they got home, he told the wife, Shebi, you saw pastor. If pastor could sip wine before all of us like that, what do you know he's doing inside? I think I told you this thing is in the Bible. Did Jesus not turn water to wine? And that was how that man returned into his drunkenness. Simply because his pastor sipped wine in a wedding ceremony. See, people are watching your life. Number three, you are an hero and God to somebody. So watch what you say. When people call you daddy, when people call you mommy, when people who are older than you bends to greet you, kneels down to greet you, what they are saying is that they value your life. They see something unique in your life. And whatever you do, they see those things as they are right. So you are an hero and God to somebody. Christians must be good examples by our lives. We must be a shining light because a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Ministers must be good examples to the flock, like we have read. Your life carries much more message than your words. In fact, your message is just maybe an hour on Sunday, but you have the whole week to live your life. So what you said on Sunday in 1 hour is not as much as weighty as what people see out of the pulpit in your life day in, day out. During conversation, your reactions to issues, your relationship with people, your temperament, your emotional expressions, all these things. People read meaning to them and they pick from them and they want to be like you because your life is an influence to others. Have you not seen leaders that at a time, the members of the church will want to cut the kind of hairstyle their pastor has? Huh? They want to dress the way their pastor dress. In fact, sometimes they want to talk. They want to express themselves the exact way the leader speaks. Why? Because they feel that they should be a copy of what their leader really is. So you have to be a good example. It's a serious calling to be in the ministry. Your life carries much more message than your word. You are the Bible that the people are reading on a daily basis. Many, many, many people, including the people in our churches, are no longer reading the Bible unless we press them and force them and do many things to make them read. But they look at our lives and they say, once the pastor is reading the Bible and we can see the Bible in his life, then we can just follow him and we are sure we are going to get to heaven. It is my prayer that those who are following you, you will not lead them to destruction. Come on, can you say it deeper? Amen. You must first incarnate Christ and his teachings before you can teach others. And that is very correct. A good example is a powerful thing. One good example lingers in the memory and is worth much more than how many sermons? Than 1,000 sermons. A good example is of more value and more worth than 1,000 sermons. Indira Gandhi of India famously said, when I looked into the life and teachings of Christ, I liked them. But when I look into the lives of Christians, I don't want to follow their Christ. Why? Because of the bad examples that they have seen in the life of those that call themselves Christians. Let's go to the second part. The necessity of being an exemplary leader. The necessity of being an exemplary leader. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. There's something very important I want to pick from that place. So I want you to open it so that we all read it together. Philippians 4, verse 9. I'll wait for you a moment. Are you there now? Philippians 4, verse 9. Are you ready? Oh, let's go now. Go. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now look at those words. The first word there is the word learned. And the second word is the word received. And the third word is the word heard. And the fourth word is the word seen. Now I want you to write those four words somewhere on your outline. Learned, received, heard, and seen. From who do you learn something? I ask. From who do you learn something? Huh? From a teacher. A teacher teaches. And from what he teaches, you learn. So before that learned, write a teacher. Write a teacher. Learned, then dash, a teacher. It is the teacher that teach you and you learn. Two, giver before received. He said, what you have learned, what you have received. For somebody to receive something, there must be who? There must be a giver. Then the third one is the word heard. For people to hear, there must be a preacher. Is that correct? According to Romans chapter 10, he said, how will they hear? Except somebody go and preach to them. So before the word heard, write a preacher. And then the last word there is what? Seen. Now before you can see something, there must be a doer. Is that not correct? So what was being said here is that you have to be a teacher, you have to be a giver, then you have to be a preacher, and then you have to be what? A doer. A doer. I will read that verse again. Those things which ye have both learned, because I am your teacher, and you have received, because I give you those information, and have heard, because I preach to you, and have seen, because I practicalize what I preach, I practicalize what I teach. He said, those things go and do. Those things go and do. Too many people who are leading and holding position of influence don't want to take responsibility for their lives and actions. No leadership. No. Leadership is costly. You must strive to set good examples for the following reason. Number one, a leader is a golden fish that has no place to hide. Number two, people are looking for who to follow and to emulate. Number three, what you do will be copied by others, consciously or unconsciously. Number four, you will either lead them up or down through your example. I want to ask you this question this morning, Pastor. Where do you want to lead your people? I can't hear your answer now. The Lord will give you the grace and give me the grace in Jesus' name. Much is required of you because the buck stops at your table. Many times we complain about the sheep and we say they are not doing the right thing, they are not going the right direction, but you can't blame them. Whatever happens in your congregation is traceable to you and you are answerable for those things. In the book of Revelation, the letters were written to the angels of the churches. They did not call the committee. They did not call the departmental leaders. They wrote the letter to the angels of the churches. So, you are responsible for whatever happened under the ministry that God has committed to your hand. Therefore, your words, your dressing, your manners, your moods, your lifestyle, your relationship skills, your actions, and handling of situations are being closely watched by people. You either use them to set good examples or you don't. You don't have to tell people to follow. Once they see you doing something, they are immediately prompted to follow suit without question. As a leader, you can't do all that you want because everything do not edify others. A true leader must seek to set good examples always. So let's look at this practically as much as we can. What areas are we supposed to be of good example? The first mentioned is in the area of sincerity and integrity. I think it is from the early ages we teach our children to always speak the truth. I remember in the early days of my school, one of the songs they taught us was, wherever you be, do not say yes when you mean to. I'm so impressed that you went to a kindergarten school too. That's interesting. Maybe your teacher was my teacher too. Do not say yes when you mean to say no. Is that in the Bible? I ask, is that in the Bible? Jesus said, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Anything outside of that is not right. So one area to set good example is in the area of integrity. What you say. I think I've told you the story of a man who owed somebody money. And the fellow called him and said, brother, how far now? Where are you? Ah, he said, I'm in Abuja right now. When I go to Lagos, I will call you. And he never knew that the brother was just 2 cars away from his own car. The man sighted his car, so he decided to call him. So after answering the call, the one who he was owing money overtook the 2 cars between them and waved to him and said, "Abuja man." You know, he just rubbished himself. Simple sincerity. Talking about honesty. How about character and reliability? I've told you the story also of a very well-known evangelist. He said many years when he was just starting up in ministry, he was to go to Ekoyi Mountain to pray. And he took these cheap vehicles. You know, you just wave and ask them to pick you up. Solid, you know. And it was a company vehicle. And when they entered the car, the guy driving said, "Please, in case police stops us, just say you are staff of this company." And they moved. They were close to Ibadan. And police stopped them, truly. And they asked them to park. They asked them to come down from the car. And they asked for their identification. And everybody said, "Oh, we are staff." And the pastor said, "I am not a staff. I am a pastor. I am going to Ekoyi Mountain to pray. These people are going somewhere. I waved them down and they took me. I am going." And they said, "Okay, pastor, stand this way. Staff, stand this way." So they searched the car. Unknown to those people that took that boarded that car, it was a stolen car. They found 2 guns in the car. In fact, they killed the owner of the car. So, those people had been radioed and they've been looking for the car. So, when those people now saw the gun and saw what happened, they now said, "No, we are not staff. We are just like pastor. We too, we waved at." They said, "No. When you get to the police station, you will explain yourself." And they say, "Pastor, we will get you another vehicle." And they stopped another vehicle for pastor. And pastor went on his way. And the staff also went on their way. May you not be a staff. Love and forgiveness is another area where we need to display good example. I think the best example I can give here is the example of Philemon. You know, I envy that brother so much. That because of that simple thing he did, he has a whole book in the Bible to himself. Whereas there are people that did more greater things. They just commented on what they did. But Paul had to write him because he had a servant called Onesimus. That guy duped him, took much of his money away, and eventually Onesimus became born again under the ministry of Paul. And Paul had to write to this man and say, "Please, forgive this young man. He is profitable to my ministry. And if the money seems too much for you to forget, when I come back, let it go to my account. I will pay." I am very sure that Philemon did not collect that money. Number one. I am very sure that Philemon forgave that man. Because if he did not, Paul would have told us somewhere else. You know how he writes now? He said, "Those people, they gave me too much of trouble." He mentioned their name. But the man forgave. The man forgot. You see, there are times that people will really hurt us deeply. Particularly in this ministry. You can't escape it. And you know, from experience, it is always the people that you have helped most that always come back to do you more harm. People that you use your money to sponsor, that you feed their family, that you help in time of need, they may be the people that will go about saying evil things about you. People that you have done everything in life you can do to lift up, they may be the same people that will be doing all they can to bring you down. But here is an example. Forgive. Not for your own sake. I mean, not for their sake. But for your own sake. Somebody said, "An hasid will do more harm to the container in which it is kept than on the person on which it is poured." So forgive. I plead with you in the name of the Lord as you listen this morning. If there is anyone that have hurt you, forgive. Look, even if they have not come back to apologize, forgive all the same. You know what the Bible said? It said, if you bring a gift to the altar, and you remember somebody has something against you, not that you have something against the person. What did he say you should do? He said, you leave your offering and go and settle with that person. Those things are very difficult. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. He said, give those of them that are hungry, give them food. He said, by so doing, you will heap a coal of fire on their head. So these are the ways to display and practice genuine Christianity. Jesus said, if you love those people that love you, you have not done better than the unbelievers. Matthew chapter 5. He said, but when you love those who hate you and you pray for those who persecute you, that is when they will see you as the true children of your Father. Some of us had become oracles. We have turned our anointing to another thing. And we let the people know that, look, if you do any nonsense, I will curse you and you will never be free from it. So instead of being a friend and a father, you have become a terror. I plead with you, forgive in love. Even starting from our own family. You know, sometimes there could be animosity and grievances between the husband and the wife that for months, they will be co-tenants in the house. Sleeping and facing different directions. For God's sake, forgive. Forgive. Oh, it may not be applicable to you today, but it may be next week. It may be next month. It may even be in 5 years' time that something will happen. And naturally, as a human being, you will know that this is difficult to do because of what the person has done against you. But for the sake of God and for your own rest of mind, forgive. Another example, another area we need to set the example is patience and perseverance. In the last conference we held there, we were told many things we need to know about successes. Now many of us have put ourselves into trouble because we want to meet some certain standard by all means. No, patience is a virtue that we must cultivate, that we must pray for. We must learn to wait upon the Lord. Simple and godly living is another area where we need to set good example. Why? Because everything we do preaches more than our sermon. Security and trust in God is another area where we need to show good example. Because there are times of shakings and trials. And when problem comes, everybody will be looking up to you. I know you, many of you will agree with me that at times when problem comes, our members, the intelligent ones, the wise ones, the educated ones, they don't even know what to do. Huh? For example, maybe something bad just happens, somebody just dies. You will be surprised that elderly people will not know what to do. Because everybody will just be crying and they will say, let the pastor come. And maybe when the pastor eventually comes, all he do is just to cry and cry and cry there. Then everybody becomes confused. Everybody becomes confused. So, we must make sure that we display confidence and trust in God, even in times of difficulty. Even when you don't know how the solution will come, you just boldly tell the people, God will make a way. Of course you don't know. Of course you have fear inside of you. Of course you have doubts. Of course you yourself, you are more confused than the people. But you still smile and say, by the grace of God, it is well. And then you turn back inside and cry. And plead with the Lord and say, Father, you have to do something. And you wash your face and come out again and say, I need to tell you the second time. God is going to make a way. And do you know what? At such times, God never disappoints. At such times, God never fails. Because when there are trials and shakings, everybody will be looking up to the pastor. Maybe you have problem with your accommodation. You have problem with about a project. Something is happening and everybody is afraid. Go back to them and tell them boldly in the name of the Lord that God has promised us that all things work together for good. For those of us that love him, assure them. Of course you may have doubt. Of course you may have fear. But stand upon the word of God. When they see you display that kind of confidence, when they have trouble in their homes, when they have problems in their family, when they have problems in their place of work, before they call you at all, they will tell the people there, God will make a way. Tolerance and perseverance is another area where we need to set good example. Obedience to God's word and will. Let me say that there are times that obeying God's word and will may be very, very difficult. Because you may just look at it as a simple point. But if you ask Father Abraham, that morning that God called him and said, Abraham, my son, he said, yes, sir. I want you to give me something. Will you? He said, why not? Anything you ask, sir, I will give you. And God said, I want you to kill your only son and set him on fire.
Huh?
He has to clean his ears, I'm sure, to be sure that he was hearing correctly. Because this was a covenant child, and this was a child that came at a very old age. And God said, yes, that was what I said. I want you to kill this boy and set him on fire. I just want to smell him burn. If it is today, he would have said, God, are you crazy? And you know what God did? God gave him 3 days to think about it. If it was to be at the backyard, he could have maybe just go there and quickly do it out of emotion. But God asked him to go in 3 days' journey. So I'm sure on the way he would have been asking himself, Abraham, your head correct? Abraham, are you sure you heard from the Lord? But at the end of the day, he did the will of God and he got blessed for it. There are times that God will ask you to do something and everybody will be waiting and watching. They want to see what you will do. And by the time you obey the Lord, oh, you will help them to also obey the Lord in time they need to do so. Prayerfulness and faith in God. Like I told you, the disciples of Jesus came to ask him to teach them about prayer when they saw him praying. Our people will only pray well when they see us praying. In fact, when you are prayerful, it will affect your church. When the people in the church are not giving to prayer, it means that you need to show them how to do it. It means that you have given yourself an attention to many other things other than praying. So we need to show an example in that area. How about humility and selfless living? Humility is something that you cannot buy in the market. And humility is something that you cannot pretend about for so long. Because you see, the nature in us, the attitudes and habits in us is like a smoke. One time, it will show. Giving and generosity is another area where we need to show example. You know, we pastors believe that it is the people that should give. It is the church that should give. I remember a time we were doing a project in our church and we needed to fix some doors. I have prayed and prayed all through the night that God, when I get to the church this morning and I talk to the people, touch their heart so that we get this thing done. I have prayed and I was confident. And I preached powerfully. And I challenged them. But as I was about to challenge them, I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, you give the first door. And I know the cost. And I said, I don't have that kind of money now. I continued the prayer with stubbornness somehow. But I heard it again. He said, you give me the first door, and I will open doors for you. I said, So I stopped the church from praying. I said, I just heard something. I confessed before them. I said, I have prayed before coming that God should touch your hearts so that you should do this thing. But God said, I should give the first door. I don't know where I'm going to get the money, but I'm going to give it. Before I know what was happening, we have gotten every other thing settled. The pastor is giving the first door. I too will do that. But the second temptation came on Monday morning. Miraculously, God brought this money that was just enough for the door. But I had a lot of other financial challenges. So I was thinking, should I give half and then be trusting the Lord to give another half? What do I do? I was so troubled and was looking at what to do. At last, I told myself, I said, let me give him. After all, this one that came, I wasn't the one that worked for it. Do you know what happened that time? I'm saying this before the Lord. That week, I got an amount of money that my hands had never handled in life till that time. When you show the example of giving in the church, the people will give. But when they see the pastors and leaders only as collectors and receivers, they will not. They will not. Now look at what church growth is doing. I'm always challenged when I look at the commitment that goes into this ministry. I'm telling you this with all sincerity. Because if you look at the cost of what goes into what church growth packages each time, if you are somebody that is very, very observant, you will appreciate on a very serious level. You will appreciate. You will appreciate that this is not just for money making. This is not just to gather people and collect from them. This is a vision that is really tailored to change people's life. And it is my prayer once again that this ministry will continue to go higher and higher in the mighty name of Jesus. Good relational skills and acceptance, moral uprightness, and open living is another example in the area of sex, in the area of relating with the opposite sex. We need to check ourselves and keep our
garments spotless. Husbands, help your wife. Wives, help your husband. Do everything you can to be morally upright. My wife shared this story with me some weeks ago. A fellow pastor's wife was telling her. She said a lady normally come to for counseling to see her husband. And that once in a while, there was a time she saw that the way she sat down was not good enough. And she said, Mommy, can you understand what I'm saying, I believe. And the lady adjusted. She said at another time, the lady also sat carelessly like that. And she said, Mommy. And she said the third time, when she saw it, she went to where they were seated and bent down and said, Mommy, she can't sell it. Have you come for counseling? Or you have come to take my husband? In fact, the husband said he was so annoyed, but she solved the problem permanently. She solved the problem permanently. Of course, the lady remained, but she dropped the idea of tempting the husband. In the area of being morally upright, it's a serious business. What the Bible tells us is to flee. Is that not correct? And so when you are fleeing from something, you don't pretend about it. Like the president will always say here that he will tell his staff that in this place we don't sleep with women. It's a clear thing. You let everybody know that you are not going to corrupt yourself in that light. It's a very serious business. And everybody around you should know that. Hard work and passion is another area of giving good example. Commitment and dedication to the things of God. Devotion to family and home. God said about Abraham, I know him, that he will teach his children after him to do my will. God should be able to say the same thing about our life. The examples you daily set in these areas will go a long way to determine whether you will lead people up or down. Either you will take them to heaven or to hell. It is my prayer you will not take your people to hell in Jesus' name. Let's look at the third point. Danger of being a bad example. A leader who is a bad example wounds and injures much more people than he would imagine. A bad example of lying, deceit, insecurity, anger, wrath, malice, abusive tendencies, pride, boasting, greed, and envy set a bad tone for others. What are the consequences? Number one, leaders that make others to stumble will be judged severely, will be punished heavily. Number two, leaders that are rock of offense through their life become stumbling blocks to others. Because so many people will copy them. So many people will follow their lifestyles. They would not even know. And they will suffer for it. It was Pastor Kumuyi that shared this story many years ago. He said before he got born again, he said he will always hear a couple fight. And each time they quarrel, the wife will be referring to a particular pastor. That if not for Pastor so and so that made me to marry you, I would not have married you. In other words, every time they fight, the woman sends some curses to the pastor that connected her to the man. Whereas the pastor, wherever he is, never know what is happening. But here, somebody is rending curses over him every day. The same thing applies. When you set bad examples, people you don't know will be suffering, will be derailing, will be living wrongly as a result of the influence of what you have done. And it will be going to your own record because it will be traced back to you. You send people to hell, an untimely death, through bad examples. People backslide and stop following God through negative examples of leaders. Heaven is sad. Holy Spirit is grieved when our examples drive people away from the faith. A certain man was asked to stop drinking. He refused, saying that he knew many pastors who were drunkards. He even mentioned a highly placed leader in a church who oversees an alcoholic company. What a bad example. The way you live and behave will determine the heaven or hell of others. And God will hold you accountable. Underline that. Let's now look at the final point. Becoming an exemplary leader. I think this is where each and every one of us need to give attention. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32 and 33. 1 Corinthians 10. 32 and 33. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That should be our focus, that our lives should help many to know the Lord, that we should be a shining example, like that our popular song, that others will see Christ in our lives, just like the Christians were called by that name because they were living exactly like Christ. So I challenge you this morning, choose to be a good example. Let me tell the fellow sitting by, say, choose to be a good example. It takes grace to become a good and exemplary leader. And I picked the word grace. I gave it this following point. Number one, the word G stands for God. For you to be a good example, you need to come closer to God. When God fills you, when His life permeates your life, when your life is blended into His own life, you become a good example. That is, when the life of Christ is imputed in you, when the life of Christ grows in you, when God lives and dwells in you, like that popular proverb that says, when the leaf stays close to the soap, it becomes soap. When you are always close to God, when you are always close to the Word of God, when you are always close to those that fear God, like David said, I am a companion of those that fear you. When you are always in touch with God, it will be easy to be a good example. The word R stands for resistance to influence, environmental influence. Resistance to environmental influence. You don't allow your life to be influenced by what is happening around you. The word A stands for absolute resolution. I have made a covenant with my eye that I will not behold a male. Absolute resolution that you will live right. Absolute resolution that you will say the truth no matter what will happen. Absolute resolution that you will serve the Lord till the end. Absolute resolution that you will not compromise. The C there means commitment. When you make the resolution, you commit yourself to it. And the last word there is enduring patience. And those five words gives you grace. Number one, God. Number two, resistance to environmental influence. Number three, absolute resolution. And the C, therefore, commitment. And the E, therefore, enduring patience. So, let's look at the following things and the following areas that will help us to be good examples. One, recognize that people are looking up to you. People are looking up to you. I read a story recently of a particular family. The father of this man had been sick for a long time. So anytime he's on the table, he doesn't eat well, he drops food, he messes the table up, and he has lost table manners, his hands are shaking. So you know what they did? They decided to always give the father food separately. He has broken so many dishes, so they made a wooden plate for him, and they put him in the corner, and there they give him food. One morning, the mother of their small son saw the boy putting some pieces of wood together. And she saw the way he was so serious about it. So she asked him, "What are you doing?" She said, "I am making the plate for yourself and my father, so that when the time comes, I will have something to feed you with." In other words, the little boy saw that they are using a wooden plate to feed their own father. So she, from a very young age, he said, "Let me start early." So he was putting pieces of wood together to make plates for his own father. That night, they returned the father back to the dining table. People are looking at you. Consciously live to set good example. Deny yourself to live moderately and edifyingly. Weigh your words and actions to others. Weigh your words and actions to others. Seek to live free from carnality and politics, particularly church politics. Try to be free from it. Do everything with sincerity of heart and sincerity of purpose. Judge yourself and correct your bad manners. These teachings are not just to condemn us, but they are to check us. And like what our chairman for today said, he said we need to meditate and think about them and use our brain and begin to find out the areas where we need to make adjustment. And the Lord will help us even as this conference continues in Jesus' name. Seek the good of others, not to make them stumble. Repent of any sleep and seek to become better always. The only thing that will linger in people's memory long after they have forgotten your sermons, your jokes and notes, is the example you set before them. What people will take to heart about your life and ministry are your good or bad examples. Anywhere you go, pastor. Anywhere you go, evangelist. Anywhere you go, prophet. Anywhere you go, apostle. Anywhere you go, bishop. Whatever office you may have. The legacy you leave behind is as a result of the examples you leave behind. Let me close with this story. I think I've shared it before. A pastor boarded a bus and he was overpaid. The guy gave him more change than he should give him. And when he got to his final destination, you know, the temptation maybe to keep the change or return it had been there all through the trip. You know, people believe that there are several ways that God provides. So when they got to the end of the road, the man came down and called the conductor and said, "You overpaid me by so amount. This is your money." And the man looked at him and said, "Pastor." And he was surprised that he knew him. He said, "You were in our church at so city at so time. And that morning, your topic was, 'Thou shalt not steal.' So when I saw you in my bus today, I saw it as a good opportunity to find out, maybe you yourself, you are a thief. But now you have returned this change. It is now, I believe, your sermon. May your life be a good example." Shall we rise on our feet? We are going to pray passionately from your heart. "Oh Lord, help me to be a good example to others. Oh Lord, help me to be a good example to others." Open your mouth and pray. "Help me, oh Lord, to be a good example." The Bible said, "Be thou an example in words, in conversation." Help me to be a good example. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Pray this prayer from your heart. "Every habit in my life that is still against the word of God, be uprooted by fire. In the name of Jesus." Shall we open our mouths and pray?
I believe we are praying. In Jesus' name we pray. Our work is a work of life and death. So many lives are handed over to us. And little error can lead to the destruction of many people. And God will not fail to ask from us. The book of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. From the version I carry, I say, Jesus said to his followers, "Things that cause people to sin will happen." In your King James Version, it might say, "Offenses will come." But how terrible for the person who causes them to happen. And that is me and you, leaders. Verse 2 says, "It would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large stone around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to sin. So be careful." That is what this version is saying. We have had so much. And there is confusion in the body of Christ because a confused leader will lead confused followers. Many of us, our followers don't know what to do anymore. I want us to pray that God, forgive me where I have heard and make me true. Most of us, it is why we are trying to copy other people that will confuse our followers. A shepherd should smell like the sheep. If the shepherd is not smelling like the sheep, he is not one of them. And a lot of times we are so far disconnected. We don't even know what we are doing, not to talk of people to follow us. I want us to speak to God this morning. You are going to pray. "Whatever I have done, in whichever way I have moved, that have caused people to hear,
Lord, have mercy on me this morning. And make me to be a true leader. Lift your voice and begin to speak to God. In any way, I have caused people to hear. By my way of life, by the words of my mouth, by my lifestyle. Lord, today have mercy on me. Lord, today have mercy on me. Lord, today have mercy on me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have heard from what our daddy just said now. He mentioned Philippians chapter 4 verse 9. And he gave us four things that we are supposed to be. I don't know if you noted that. He said four things a leader must be. Because people learn from us, we must be a teacher. Because people receive from us, we must be givers. Because people hear from us, we must be preachers. And because they watch us, we must be doers. Somebody said the eye is a better pupil than the ears. That is why they teach in kindergarten now. They use more pictures. Because children learn from what they see than what they hear. So when we tell the people to do one thing, but our own lifestyle is different, then we are looking for trouble. Recently, I noticed in our church that most of the leaders there, they are more educated people, bank leaders and all the rest. When they teach and they pray, they start using the exact words I use when I'm praying. Some of them have been praying before they even joined the church. But they started using extras words, and something came to my heart that these people are learning, unconsciously they are learning from me. So if I am not paying tithe, one way or the other, they won't know why, but they will stop paying tithe. It will be difficult. You can teach what you know, but you will only reproduce who you are. And that is why we need... Have you seen a soldier before that the wife delivered a child with khaki uniform? He's still human being. He will deliver human being. You can only reproduce who you are. I want us to talk to God. Lord, make me real. That is the most important thing here. If you are a fake leader, there is no way you can bring... You will confuse the sheep of God. Lord, make me a real leader. Every form of fakeness in my leadership, let it be removed. I want to be who you have called me to be. Lord, let's open our mouth and begin to speak to God. Lord, make me real. In every area of my calling and my leadership, make me the person that you have called me to be. Lord, make me real. Make me original. Lord, make me real. Let's open our mouth and speak to God. In Jesus' name we pray. I believe that we are going to get back home and we mix up this message together in our hearts and let it work upon us so that it can have it's an exemplary leadership. How we can really live our life so that others that will follow us, we find it easy to follow us as if they are following Christ. Now, the man of God said something I want us to quickly pray. He said, an acid will do more damage to the container carrying it than to the person that is poured. One of the greatest limitations is bitterness. Many of us have been hurt by the people that God has used us to help. And bitterness is not allowing us to lead well. I want us to speak to God today. It's one of the areas where we need to lead very well. Say love and forgiveness. Our God that we are serving, He gives and He forgives. But human beings get and forget. Even at that, we too, because Jesus is our example, you are going to ask God, it's a grace that if we get it, it will help our leadership. Help me to love and forgive people. Because that they will not hurt you is a lie. But you won't be a good example if you are bitter. You cannot be a good example if you are bitter. Bitterness will be in the church. So I'm going to pray to God. Although people have hurt me in the past, they are still hurting me now. Give me the grace to love and to forgive. Make me an example of love and forgiveness. Let's lift up our voice and begin to speak to God. Make me a good example of love and forgiveness. Lord, make me a good example of love and forgiveness.
So shall it be, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Let's raise up our right hand once again. Lord, I dedicate